So Rob, we're in the wardroom on HMS Middleton. Tell me a bit about the ship first of all. What sort of ship is it? What's its role?
So Middleton is a Hunt-class mine hunter. The ship's primary purpose is to search, classify, identify and destroy naval mines, so explosives that are laid in the sea in order to cause damage or sink shipping. Middleton is one of five Hunt-class mine hunters in the Royal Navy's fleet. We are purpose-built as a mine hunter. The ship was built way back in the 1980s and was commissioned in 1984, so she's older than all but one member of the ship's company. And you know, that is old for a ship. However, she's made of fiberglass. She's made of GRP in order to give the ship a very low magnetic signature, which means that we're much less vulnerable to mines that could be actuated by a magnetic signature. So the ship will last and keep going and going and going. A lot of her machinery and systems have been updated. We've got new engines, we've got a new sonar, new weapons. So she's a little bit like Trigger's broom, you could call it that, and she's still very, very capable.
And at the end of the day, with any system, like a ship or an aircraft, whatever it may be, the strongest point, I'm guessing, is the people that serve aboard.
I 100% agree. And I've got a ship's company of 48 sailors, many of whom this has been their first period at sea. So we left Portsmouth 3 weeks ago. We've operated around the UK coast. In fact, we came up the east side of Great Britain, up into the North Sea, around the top of Scotland, and we came to the Isle of Man the long way around from Portsmouth. And what it's meant is that sea time has enabled us to do lots of training at sea, training our ability to be safe at sea. So our ability to do safe navigation, safe seamanship, safe engineering, be able to deal with fires and floods, casualties, all those sort of basic skills that the Navy has to do. And we've also practiced our more warfare-like skills. We've done diving. My divers they dived a few days ago in Scapa Flow when we were at anchor there last week.
That must have been an incredible experience, and I'm presuming for many of the members of the crew, they're too young maybe to have realised the full extent of what Scapa Flow means.
I think so, yeah. And actually, you know, I've nearly done 22 years in the Navy, and it's the first time I've been to Scapa Flow, and it was incredible and quite poignant to take the ship there, given the Flow's naval history in both the First and Second World Wars. And my team, my divers, dived on the wreck of SMS Dresden, which was a First World War German Navy cruiser, part of the High Seas Fleet that was scuttled in the Flow in June 1919. After we dived, we then and before we departed the Flow, we sailed past the wreck of HMS Royal Oak, the Royal Navy battleship that was sunk by U-47, a German U-boat, in October 1939, right at the start of the Second World War. That wreck is designated war grave. It's marked by a buoy on the surface, and as we sailed past, we conducted ceremonial with every member of the ship's company on the upper deck. A really poignant moment, but one, you know, the history is a huge part of the Royal Navy's identity, and we have to, you know, make sure whenever we have an opportunity to remember that.
It's not called the senior service for no reason. You were there whilst the rest of the UK was basking in a heat wave. It wasn't quite the same at Scapa Flow though.
No, so up in the Orkneys, as the rest of Great Britain was in the mid or high 30s, it was a chilly 11 degrees and with the wind chill felt more like 6 or 7. So a few of the sailors did perhaps question my sanity. however, they a couple of days later, as we came down the west coast of Scotland, we went under the Sky Bridge, under glorious blue skies, and we had an absolutely fantastic experience navigating through actually a really complex place, complex area to navigate, past the Isle of Skye, past the Isle of Rum, and the Isle of Mull. But what a wonderful way to get to the Isle of Man.
Very poignant moment standing on deck, everybody saluting, but I would also imagine seeing those weather conditions at the end of May and thinking what the guys went through back in the war.
Absolutely. And the other thing that we remarked upon was, you know, we anchored on the Sunday evening, and I think it was almost 10 p.m. by the time we got to anchor, and it was still light, and then it was light again by 4 a.m. You turn that on its head, imagine being up there in December or January, almost darkness for upwards of 20 hours a day, and to be up there in either the First or Second World War, a long way from home, knowing that the call could come to sail out into the Atlantic, out into the North Sea at any moment, it must have been incredibly tough. So it was great to, in our own little way, just experience a bit of that last week.
You mentioned the visit to Scapa Flow, you mentioned training. For anyone that's been on a cruise, it's fantastic. You get on a nice ship and you're given drinks and you're fed and you get off somewhere lovely. that's not what life's like in the Royal Navy, is it?
No, not absolutely not. One of the many questions that we get asked is, what do you actually do when you're at sea? And you know, my response is, well, you know, we fill every day. The ship, just running the ship, running the machinery, navigating the ship on the bridge, that there's always people awake. So many of my ship's company work a watch bill. They work a 1 in 3 watch bill, so there'll be 4 hours on watch on the bridge or in the engine rooms, and then 8 hours off. You know, during their off watch time, they need to sleep and eat and do all their own personal admin. Each day we'll do some form of training. We'll do launching the seaboat to, you know, practice our ability to rescue someone who fell overboard, or practicing our ability to launch the seaboat in more challenging sea and weather conditions. We'll do engineering training, so we'll practice how we would respond if there was a breakdown in one of the engines or the steering gear. We'll practice our response to a fire. We need to be able to, if a fire on board a ship would be a really dangerous incident. And being able to deal with that is everyone's responsibility. So there's always training that has to be done. A day you don't train, you start to lose those skills. Okay, and skill failure is a big factor. So we're always training, and also we're maintaining the ship. I mentioned she's 42 years old. Yes, the hull is plastic, but all the systems inside are not, and they need a lot of maintenance. So there's a lot of TLC that's required to keep her going.
HMS Middleton came out of Bahrain. I think it was the beginning of this year. There are those who would say that at the moment a mine hunting ship is probably sort of more suited to being in that part of the world. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. Okay, it's a really good question, and it's one that the Navy, a lot of us in the Navy, are asking ourselves as well. As it is, you know, Middleton was always planned to come back in the early part of this year, because she is due to have a routine but significant refit over the summer, when the ship will be in docks in Falmouth for that, and that will basically recertify Middleton in order to serve for many more years yet in the Royal Navy. So Middleton was always going to come back. The Royal Navy's and Britain's mine hunting capability in the Middle East will now be delivered by RFA Lion Bay, one of our auxiliary ships, which is on its way to the Middle East right now with a host of new mine hunting technology, including autonomous vehicles and underwater equipment, which will be in place to support coalition efforts later this year to remove any of the mine threat from the Strait of Hormuz.
So very much part of the natural rotation that would happen anyway.
Yes, exactly. So it's part of the natural rotation of capabilities, and the capabilities that will be out in the Middle East very soon will more than replace the capabilities that Middleton provided.
You're here on the Isle of Man. When we look at Navy ships, Navy vessels arriving here, we often say, people, what is it doing here? People start thinking the worst or whatever. What is the purpose for a visit, a run ashore in somewhere like the Isle of Man?
It's absolutely great to be here. I'll start with that, and thank you to everyone in the Isle of Man for being so welcoming and for really looking after my ship's company. We have had an absolutely fantastic time. The purpose of the visit, well, we've had a week at sea, and we need to, you know, we need to fuel, we need to get fresh food. Okay, we also need to give my sailors a great experience. And of the 50 members of my ship's company, I think fewer than 10 of us had been to the Isle of Man before. We were offered the chance to come to the Isle of Man during the TT. I mean, opportunities like that don't come every day, okay? And I'll be honest, we when the Navy offered us that, we bit their hand off. And we're so grateful, and it's been absolutely brilliant to come here. So, you know, part of the reason to come here is you know, essential logistics, fuel and food. But a bigger reason to come here is to bring a warship to the Isle of Man. We are your Navy. You know, so you get to see a Royal Navy ship, you get to see the White Ensign, you get to see my sailors ashore having a good time, and my sailors get to experience going around the British Isles, somewhere that, as I say, most of them hadn't been before, and that's a great part of the adventure of going to sea in the Royal Navy.
So all in all, a good run ashore. And did you get to see much of the TT action?
A brilliant run ashore. I had a fantastic day yesterday getting very close to the races, something I've never experienced before. It was absolutely mind-blowing. A lot of my sailors have been out and about. We have been incredibly well looked after by Bushies. I'll give them a shout out. A lot of the sailors have been up to the grandstand. They've met some of the riders. They've been up close with the bikes. Quite a few of the ship's company were motorbike enthusiasts, but I think we all are now.
So it worked its magic on you. Rob, I understand that at one point you had a tie-in with the guys from Manx Transport Museum as well, an appeal P-50. What? It can't be true.
It is true, yeah, and we've got photos to prove it. So on arrival on Friday, John and Brian from the Manx Transport Heritage Museum arrived on the jetty with their PLP-50. And the next thing I knew was that a plan had been hatched that it was going to be craned onto the forecastle, so onto the bow of Middleton, which happened. And then we had some amazing photos of the ship's company with John and Brian with the P-50 by the on the ship's bow by the gun. Amazing experience. It was then the car was then craned back onto the jetty, and three of us, Lynn Seaman, Sammy Taylor, E.T. Ainsley Garlick, and myself were given the unique experience of being able to drive it. So I know that Jamie Clarkson's driven a P-50, Michael Portillo's driven a P-30, and then three members of HMS Middleton's ship's company have driven it. It was so much fun to drive. It was a bit like driving a shopping trolley cum go-kart. Surprisingly, a bit quicker than I expected it when I put it into second gear and it started to really go down the jetty. Had to be careful, had to make a very tight turn. I was terrified. It was by a long way the most expensive car I have ever driven. Such a bit of fun, a real hoot, and a really incredible welcome to the Isle of Man.
And, fun, brilliant stuff, but also another part of the training exercise of hoisting something precious cargo on and off the ship, I guess.
Yeah, exactly that. And, I didn't organise that. It was my junior sailors. They, on their own initiative, they reached out to the Manx Transport Heritage Museum, asked if we could possibly go and see the PLP-50. And as I say, John and Brian replied and said, why don't we go one better and bring it to the ship? And before we knew it, it was on board. It was absolutely wonderful. Very, you can have a bit of fun in the Royal Navy, and it's part of the great adventure of being in the Navy and going to sea.
What next for Middleton? You're leaving on Tuesday. What happens then?
That's right. Yeah, so we sail on Tuesday morning. We're going to go to sea for another week or so. We've got some exercises and some training to do up around the naval exercise areas around Western Scotland. We'll be doing more diving. With my team of Royal Navy mine clearance divers, we'll be doing more gunnery exercises. We'll be shooting our guns and getting ourselves back in date for all that sort of training. And then we're going to head down, and our next stop is Devonport, so the naval base in Plymouth, which isn't our home base. Our home base is Portsmouth, but it'll be good to take the ship to a different naval base.
So lots to look forward to, busy times ahead. And for you personally, how long left in command of the ship?
So only one more month. I'm coming to the end of this two-year role. It's quite bittersweet, because at the end of this time I'm getting promoted, which is fantastic, but it will be a sad day, and I there will definitely be a tear in my eye when I say goodbye to the ship and more importantly goodbye to the sailors.
I have to ask you one last question as well. Will you be coming back to the Isle of Man at some point under your own steam?
We certainly will, yeah. We will jump. I think the sailors will be chomping at the bit to come back to the Isle of Man, hopefully for next year's TT. Yeah, we've made some incredible memories. Thanks again to everyone who's looked after us while we've been here. It's been probably one of our best runs ashore. So thank you very much.